Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Subject is on the beach now. Respond for a shark bite.
Once again, North Carolina ground zero for shark attacks. Wow. Is it safe to really jump in the water? Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Just things we're thinking about. You know, this, should you punch a shark in the nose? What do you do? When do you swim? All that conversation that people used to just blow off and say, ah, who cares? Other things can happen to you. You can get hit by a car walking across the street. You know, and that old argument, let's trot that chestnut out. But tell that to the people that have been bitten and lost limbs. I love what the latest victim had to say. I love it in the sense where he said, next time when I go on vacation, I'm going to the mountains. He's not looking to jump in the Outer Bank water anymore because he knows he wrestled with the shark. He was dragged underwater, and he was bitten in all kinds of places. He feels fortunate. He was punching so hard, he said he couldn't, it's like he couldn't breathe. He got away. That is the awesome thing there. But you have kids that lost arms because of it. And the strategy of keeping these beaches open, I don't get it. I get it. The self-preservation. But after an attack, 40 minutes later, an hour later, 2 hours later, so I think it's fair to ask the question, is it safe to go in the water after the shark attacks? Would you let your kid go in the water and boogie board, body surf? Even though, and everybody's telling you, don't be afraid of the sharks. So be careful out there in the Carolinas, because that's where the attacks have been. All up and down the coastline, unsuspecting, waist-deep water, that kind of stuff. Unsuspecting. All right, unsuspecting. If I had told you, fast forward, 2015, we're going to have an embassy in Cuba and things are changing, my friends, would you have believed me? Here's what the president said earlier this week on the whole Cuba deal.
The progress that we mark today is yet another demonstration that we don't have to be imprisoned by the past. When something isn't working, we can and will change. Last December, I announced that the United States and Cuba had decided to take steps to normalize our relationship. As part of that effort, President Raul Castro and I directed our teams to negotiate the reestablishment of embassies. Since then, our State Department has worked hard with their Cuban counterparts to achieve that goal. And later this summer, Secretary Kerry will travel to Havana, formally, to proudly raise the American flag over our embassy once more. And I've been clear that we will also continue to have some very serious differences. That will include America's enduring support for universal values like freedom of speech and assembly and the ability to access information. And we will not hesitate to speak out when we see actions that contradict those values. Public opinion surveys in both our countries show broad support for this engagement. One Cuban said, I've prepared for this all my life. Another said that this is like a shot of oxygen. One Cuban teacher put it simply, we are neighbors, now we can be friends. Yes, there are those who want to turn back the clock and double down on a policy of isolation, but it's long past time for us to realize that this approach doesn't work. It hasn't worked for 50 years. A year ago, it might have seemed impossible that the United States would once again be raising our flag, the Stars and Stripes, over an embassy in Havana. This is what change looks like.
All right, change, big change, the last couple of weeks. The other big change was the Confederate flag. Confederate flag now is a game changer, meaning people are not flying the Confederate flag. About 57% of Americans see the Confederate flag more as a symbol of Southern pride, though, than a symbol of racism. A new poll just comes out. A symbol of Southern pride, not racism. Brian France, running NASCAR, said, we're getting rid of all Confederate symbols. It's despicable. and went on and on about how racist it was and how he hoped his fans would get rid of their Confederate flags. Pound for pound, the people who buy the most are sitting in his infield. Now they're talking about just banning it completely, telling people they cannot have they can have an American flag, they cannot have a Confederate flag. Cannot have a Confederate flag. Isn't that interesting? This conversation has drawn more opinion than half of what's happening and has been happening in this country for a while. So how interesting is that? Confederate flag, boom, out of here. Considered a racist symbol now for what it symbolized, I suppose, in the past. But that's pretty big of NASCAR, meaning now they're thinking, okay, no, we can't have fans having this. So T-shirt, shot glasses, just about anything you can think of, there are Confederate flags. And that pulled from the shelves, pulled from making more, banned from putting it in stores. Wow. It just goes to show you, see, things can happen when there's power in numbers. And in this case, there was power in numbers, and that's exactly what it was. There was a horrific thing that happened. There was a symbol that was flying. It was a bone of contention in South Carolina over the state courthouse. And then, bada bing, that was it. It was gone in a blink of an eye. We're not going to have that anymore. Coming up in this hour of America tonight, we are going to lighten the load, I promise, because we're going to take you to the movies. Movies! There are always movies happening, whether they're good or not, that's the question. It is summertime, that means kiddos, grandkids, nieces, nephews, Ant Boy is one of the movies that we'll talk about. Just the whole idea of a superhero that's an ant, that's when you're really stretching it. I know it was a comic, but okay, we're going to Ant Boy now. I guarantee it'll be popular. Guarantee it will find an audience. Also, we'll look at a movie called B-Side. B-Side. How many people even know what a B-Side is? Did you play the B-Side of any records? And then Gone Doggy. Hint, Gone. That's a family movie. Gone Doggy Gone. Not to be confused with Max. Another dog movie and a family rallying around Max. Speaking of rallying around, Bernie Sanders, fresh off the excitement tour in Madison, Wisconsin, 10,000 people, raised $15 million. That's a boon for a guy like Bernie Sanders. $15 million in his first quarter. And he's picking up steam. He's picking up steam wherever he goes. Does it mean anything, or is it just he's hitting the right people, the younger people? I think that's what it is. He's had the biggest crowd for any presidential candidate so far, but the independent Vermont senator hates fundraising. Hates it. So he doesn't like to go to these fundraisers. That was big for him to go there. And it paid off big time. Hang with us. We're jumping the fence. Jump with us, too. Stay here on ATN.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey, neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. ExtendoVite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoVite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoVite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
All right, it's no secret that I am a huge tennis fan. So, of course, watching Wimbledon has been interesting. Rafa Nadal knocked out by a qualifier. Oh, yeah, it happened in four sets. German qualifier Dustin Brown did it on Thursday. And it's Nadal's fourth loss at Wimby to a player ranked over 100 in the world. You never know what can happen. All eyes, I think, are on Serena Williams to see what's going to happen with Serena. As I already mentioned before, she's got a great shot at the Grand Slam. And you know what? Here it is, the 4th of July weekend. There's nothing more American. Seriously. You want to wrap yourself in the flag, wrapping yourself up in what is happening with Serena Williams. It's like the women's soccer players, Team USA, and what they're going to do against Japan on Sunday. That's huge. Serena Williams and watching her run, I think, is very huge as well, because it is a slice of history. Joining us now on America Tonight, I mentioned Dr. Joy Macy, my pal. She's got a great book out called Baby Boomer Tennis. I'll say it again, Legends, Lessons, Links to Win in Tennis and Life. And the co-author of that book, Craig Bell, both of them very schooled in the art of the better techniques that you can use as you get older so you can still play the game, for goodness sake, and not hurt yourself. I mean, the injuries that older people suffer, and all people suffer, because of the way they're taught often is pretty significant. If you even hang around just the public courts, you'll see and you'll learn about people's aches and pains, some of them pretty serious. So Joy and Craig, thanks so much for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Oh, hey, thank you, Kate. My pleasure.
Happy to be here.
So, Craig, let's start with you. You and Joy write this book, Baby Boomer Tennis, and I kind of set it up, but what? So, I guess I think really in all sports, we don't see this happen as much, but we love our sports, and then what happens is we think we're 20 years old again when, I mean, hey, even if we're in our late 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, but we haven't learned different techniques. So you guys are definitely on to something, Craig. What's the gist of, or perhaps a couple of different things people could do playing tennis so they don't, you know, mangle themselves up when they're on the court?
You know, Kate, that's always a great question. You know, I think I'm still 20 in my mind, but my body says I'm 55. So, you know, it's not sometimes, you know, my brain doesn't, you know, it says, hey, Craig, you can't do those kind of things. And so a lot of us that aren't professional, we definitely like to enjoy watching professionals. I'm a weekend warrior like most of us out there, and you know, Dr. Joy and I have come up with I think a very simple approach to the game. There's usually three things that we kind of focus in on, whether they're serving or ground strokes or volleys. Very, very quick, very basic, very simple things that, may or may not have, been heard of, you know, forehands and backhands and just kind of some different things that, maybe the techniques that, might seem obvious, but just kind of aren't obvious for the baby boomer generation. There's a lot of boomers out there, and especially those who might be interested in playing tennis. Now's the time. Tennis is in high season right now, like you said, with Wimbledon. A lot of great stuff for the next couple of weeks from Southwest 19 in London.
Boy, yeah, no kidding. And Joy, you know, this is a big passion of yours. You used to be a co-owner of an academy where you actually had a students, everybody listening, this is really pretty cool. I've been talking about Serena Williams, but Serena Williams and Venus Williams, which is amazing, because how many people can say that they hit balls to watch, practice, all that kind of stuff with the Williams sisters. So I guess first, before we dive into your thoughts on the book, what were Serena and Venus like at the time when you were around them?
Oh gosh, it was amazing. My goodness, that was 20, probably 6 or 27 years ago, so that's a couple of years back.
Yeah.
Their whole family moved from Compton to our academy, the Rick Mason Tennis Academy in Greenleaf, Florida, in Florida. And it was delightful. I mean, the girls were young, they were, you know, eager, they were strong, they were coming, even also their older sisters were playing as well. Older and younger sister played as well. But what was neat is we knew they had amazing talent, and this is where, you know, the God-given talent, we knew they'd be like number one in the world. But the length of their legacy is something, wow, you know, it's just so exciting to see them, you know, extend almost 30 years in what they're doing.
Yeah, no kidding. And I think they've really inspired a lot of young girls to play, but just in general, they've helped American tennis, because no offense to the guys, Craig, but we've had some great male players, but not to the caliber of Serena or Venus Williams. So, Joy, I guess, you know, that's the question, too, like we talked with Craig there. In baby boomer techniques and tennis, what have you seen? Because I know you've taught, probably just like Craig, some of these techniques. What have you seen that's happened to people when they started to play with what you've been able to teach them?
What's exciting is when the people learn how to simplify things, because simplicity is the key to victory. So many times, you know, players go out, they always think, oh, rack it back, watch the ball, and their mind is going 150 different things trying to figure out what to do, and they're not really playing the ball. And the neat thing is with simplicity, we take the whole game of tennis down to an Einsteinian formula. The forehand is like CQ, the backhand is PQ. We make it simple so players can learn how to work with their body instead of fight their body. And what's neat, we were working actually with a pro that was actually last week, and the pro went, oh my gosh, Joy, this is so easy. I've never done, this is going to change my whole, you know, and that's the fun part of it. Whether you're working with a pro player or an amateur or a baby boomer or a young junior, when you teach them how to work with your body instead of fighting, the key to victory.
Yeah, boy, isn't that the truth. And now with the baby boomer generation aging, now more than ever, how significant is that? Craig, when you look at Wimbledon, and I was mentioning right before you guys jumped on that Rafa Nadal, I've seen him play, gosh, I've been fortunate enough to see him play probably 15 times. He's knocked out again, this time by somebody relatively very, very unknown. When you look at Wimbledon and what's happening on the men's side, what do you, and also with Serena Williams, what do you think happens? First of all, do you think Serena wins this one? It's got a tough side of the draw, and what do you think happens with the men?
You know, I think that's always a great question. I think this tournament is for Serena to win. I think everybody else is, I'd want to be on the bottom half of the draw, hopefully to get to the finals. I was looking at the draw right now, and actually, if Serena wins her match against another American, Heather Watson, and Venus wins her match, they actually play each other in the round of 16, so which would be kind of an interesting matchup. I was like, uh-oh. And so, cause typically they don't like to play each other, you know, for obvious reasons. That, you know, they're sisters, and they probably played each other. They probably played each other 100 times out on the courts with Joy and her husband Rick down in Florida. But I know that they typically shy away from each other. But, yeah, I think it's always Serena's tournament to win right now. She's in that kind of zone that it's just hard to – even when she's not playing her best, which at the French Open, I think we all watched Serena probably at about 75-80%. She's still, you know, 100% better than everybody else that's kind of out there. So I still think that, you know, it's Serena's tournament – to win. You know, there's obviously some good players that are out there. You know, Petra Kvitova on the bottom half of the draw can give her trouble. Mm-hmm. She's a hard-serving lefty that has won Wimbledon before. You know, there are some trap doors there for her. Sharapova's on her half of the draw on Serena's top half. And so, you know, Maria can give Serena some trouble, but I still think that at the end of the day that Serena you know, comes through and keeps chasing history. You know, she's a couple of slams behind Steffi Graf and a couple more behind Margaret Court. So I think she's gonna make person. I just think she's gonna get there. She's got the tenacity to drive herself and kind of will herself to be the greatest of all time. I think you're lucky. You know, if you've seen her 15 or so times, that's great. I mean, that, you know, you're still watching history in the making. You know, somebody of that caliber, it's once in a lifetime. You know, it's rare. I didn't see Margaret Court play. We did get to see Steffi Graf play, Chris Evert Martina. But, you know, Serena's something special, definitely. That's for sure. But
absolutely. I totally agree with you. Doing NBC, and I'm always looking in my crystal ball, and I say there's no question. I think she gets it for sure. Joy, we have like 30 seconds left. You think it, too. I hear you agreeing with Craig. You think Serena wins this?
Oh, I think she really will. I mean, she and Venus pulled out a double because Serena can really zero in and focus on this match. And I think she's ready for the title. It'll be, you know, the 21st title. Plus, she will also be the oldest woman ever to win a Grand Slam if she takes this title.
Yeah,
when she takes it,
I like that. That'd be awesome.
Right.
Well, I have to tell you both. I read the book cover to cover. It's awesome, filled with pictures. Pick it up, Amazon.com. Baby Boomer Tennis Legends, lessons, links to win in tennis and life. Joy and Craig, continued success in the push to get people to play tennis the right way so they don't hurt themselves as they get older. Thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
Come out and see us on the court somewhere.
I will. That'll be fun. All right. We're ready to roll.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
It's very easy to be a criminal. All you need to burglarize a home is one simple household tool, a pair of scissors. If your home security system can be compromised by a criminal using scissors, then you're making it easy for them. Almost every home security system, even those sold by big-name companies, has a weakness. The phone line. You shell out $1,500, get locked into a long-term contract, and think you're safe. But a burglar can destroy your alarm in seconds with one snip. And when a burglar cuts your phone line, you're defenseless. SimpliSafe Home Security is the smarter choice. Built by Harvard engineers, SimpliSafe uses a wireless connection to call the cops. Scissors can't cut it. And that means your home stays safe. 24/7 professional monitoring is under $15 a month with no contract. SimpliSafe Home Security keeps you safer than the other guys for half the cost. Protect your home with the alarm you can trust. SimpliSafe. Go to SimpliSafeDefense.com now for an exclusive 10% offer. That's SimpliSafeDefense.com.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Although I do understand that comic book characters, especially heroes of any sort, seem to sell. There's Iron Man, Batman, the list goes on and on, the Incredible Hulk, Captain America, and there's Ant-Boy. Ant-Boy was popular, so there's an Ant-Boy 2, and here's our little sneak of Ant-Boy.
Ant-Boy thinks he's unstoppable.
You have a date with Ant-Boy.
That he can get away with anything.
Four eyes. You don't actually think he's coming.
That no villain is too strong for him. That stops now. I was invisible to Ant-Boy. It's a fury. She's the goddess of revenge. I'll show him just how invisible I can be. Ant-Boy is going to pay for what he did to me. And you're going to help me.
Warning.
He'll never see it coming.
Game over, Ant Boy.
You lose.
Yeah, so this is Ant Boy again. The first Ant Boy really, really took off. And because it was so popular, there was the decision to decide to make another Ant Boy. And you get it. I mean, you could crush him, or he's too strong and powerful. And even though he's an ant, he has a way to escape. Paul Rudd is the lead character, Ant Boy. And I have to say there are some comical moments in what I've seen from it. This is a kid's movie for sure. You could take a kid to it, and it's not going to shock you, the language or anything like that. All right, our next movie, and it's probably going to be, by the way, I'll throw this in, it's probably going to be popular. The next movie is a movie called B-Side.
6,000 people bought the Velvet Underground's first album, but they all became good musicians. Well, I think your show's like that.
Until the next time you hear from me, here's a little something to keep stuck in your head.
I hate the Velvet Underground. You hate the Velvet Underground?
The most overrated pseudo-artist of all time.
Oh, come on.
Singers should never really say they're retiring just in case they run out of money and decide to trade on their name again. But frankly, it feels kind of nice to not have my next 2 years planned out for once.
Okay, moving right along.
For the record, I've been studying April Simon all week, and she has never screwed Kanye.
You know what? April Simon, even in the realm of bubblegum pop, she's like that old guy on Halloween, gives you an orange. Come on.
Dental floss.
What was that all about?
That was actually April Simon.
Huh. Yeah, I just insulted someone who was actually listening to my show, and it was somebody rich and famous and powerful.
You make her sound like Stalin.
What happened on the show earlier? April Simon was listening to the show, and Mike made fun of her, and she emailed him to ask him out.
Did you get hit on Bonnie Pop Stars today, or was that just me?
April?
Hey.
Sorry, I don't know why I did that. I totally know what you look like.
I feel like I haven't just sat in a park in forever.
Never really dived in like this.
So how do you like it so far?
Yay for bone jumping.
Oh, God, you're one of those.
What, a dude?
Yeah, those. I doubt anyone else could possibly put up with you. So? Who's the lucky girl?
It's okay, I'm dating her.
You are lucky to be in the game right now. You walk away, you lose the opportunities you have. Now, is that something you're going to regret looking back a few years down the road?
Look, the end of my career is not as easy for me to commit to as it is for you.
Right. B-Side is about exactly what you think it is. You got a guy who's a DJ for an underground internet radio station he helped found, and you got a fading pop star on what she expects to be the final tour of her career. When April writes into Mike's show after he randomly makes a joke at her expense, the two meet, they form a relationship, and it gets pretty interesting from there. I looked at what some of the critics had to say about the movie. It's an hour and 37 minutes long. It's a comedy, romance, that kind of thing. The cast is a lot of young people in the business. Ryan Metcalf and Ryan Eggold is another one, and Jennifer Damio is another actress in this movie. And it's actually gotten some pretty decent reviews. So B-side, if you're into the music scene, you might find it interesting. We slide from B-side to a movie that's completely different about dogs. Gone, Doggy Gone.
I really enjoy working here. Everyone's just so nice.
We're cutting back on our tips. We have to let you go.
Do you want to stay and watch TV with me tonight, Shelby?
No.
Why did you leave me?
You are my BFF.
Oh my gosh, you know who's engaged this week? This is called Juicy Glow. We went to the movies.
The movies? It's freezing in there.
Jill? She needs her study. Isn't that what it's for?
You guys want to grab a bite of Leo?
They don't allow dogs.
Love these non-GMO biscuits.
You do? You do make a baby.
We're not ready for that.
We have an announcement to make.
We're moving to San Francisco.
Oh, Jesus.
There's $30,000 in a duffel bag.
I'm calling the police.
Are you crazy?
Hey, there she is.
It's Layla.
What the? Where is she? Ow! Where did she go?
She locked the door! You need real professionals.
Private investigators at your service.
I'll find her. I promise you guys.
Thank you.
If Layla's only hope is him, then that pooch is gone, doggy gone.
Sometimes bad things happen to good people.
Where is Layla?
You know where she is, right?
Oh, crap. You want to go back three times in a row, okay?
So Gone, Doggy Gone is a film, a comedy. Could you kind of hear it there? About a couple that are in a marriage who treat their dog like a baby. Anybody out there relate to that? They work in L.A. They don't have time for each other. What free time they have, they dote all over this dog. It gets kidnapped. And then there's kind of a cat and mouse adventure. They try to hunt down the kidnapper. They end up hiring a private eye. And then they find kind of a new love for each other, and they conquer the fear of parenthood. So it's got drama, it's got action, it's got adventure, and Rotten Tomatoes actually rated this movie okay, because they're sometimes stingy, 71%, and the audience score was 92%. For what that means, Gone, Doggy Gone, I thought pretty interesting from what I saw. I already mentioned the time, 1 hour, 29 minutes. 1 hour and 29 minutes. The big rage, of course, at the movie still continues to be Jurassic World. And I think that's because the dinosaurs that we fell in love with in the first Jurassic, people didn't really want it to end. I don't know. There's something about that. And then, of course, the younger generation for what they've thrown into Jurassic World. I mean, it's just upended the box office. Steven Spielberg was the executive producer of this one, and people have been waiting for it for a long, long time. And they finally got it. It's PG-13, action-adventure. This is the big movie of the summer. At the box office, already over $500 million. It opened June 12th. It's a long movie, 2 hours and 3 minutes. So you have to really want to invest and see it. And you got a lot of people like Chris Pratt in it, Judy Greer's in it, Bryce Howard's in it, Ron Howard's daughter. And it packs a punch, I think, because of the reasons I said, because we waited for a long time for Jurassic Park, and now we've got it again in a different version of it, Jurassic World. All right, I'm hanging with you. You hanging with me? I hope so.
Twice as Nice Twin Kits special offer from Complete H2O Minerals for all GCN listeners. Get a Complete H2O Minerals Twin Kit with 33 different minerals, vitamins, and amino acids all in a liquid form. Enough for two people for 1 month. Regular price, $89.95. But now Complete H2O Minerals is offering the Twin Kit for $69.95. And all GCN listeners receive a bonus 16-ounce bottle of Ionic Silver absolutely free with free shipping. A $120 total value. Hurry, limited time offer. Call 803-794-4767 or click CompleteH2OMinerals.com.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNLive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNLive.com. GCN.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code Silver. Silver 2015 for 30% off of your entire order and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
About in a lot of different circles, certainly with whether it's we have this tug of war, it's like we're at the poker table and everybody's got their cards up, only we seem to have different patterns on the deck, whether we're saying climate change or global warming, and the Pope comes out with a climate letter pushing dialogue with everybody. Wow. I was so stunned to hear that from the Vatican. To, you know, you think of the preaching to the world's Roman Catholics, and it's the amount of Catholics, I think, is at 1.2 billion. But on June 18th, he sent a letter about the environment, Pope Francis, talking about all kinds of things that seemed backwards and weren't communicated correctly, but very few people have actually talked about it. So we thought it'd be great to have Tom Harris on. He's the executive director of the International Climate Science Coalition. Hey, Tom, thanks for popping on.
Yeah, hi. Good to talk to you.
So first of all, let's address the letter. What were the things that popped out to you about Pope Francis's letter about climate change?
Well, actually, it's interesting because the letter was about many topics. Only about 5% of it was about climate change. The most common topic in his letter was actually support for socialism, which I thought was a little strange for a pope because, you know, this he's really advocating a political position. He was talking about things like private property and how it should be shared with the commons and things like that. But in the 5% where he did talk about climate change, he must have been channeling Al Gore because he said all the same things that you hear from Al Gore. The sad thing is that he said, in fact, they say right here in his encyclical, this encyclical welcomes dialogue with everyone. Well, the Heartland Institute out of Chicago, they're a free market think tank, they sent about a dozen experts to the Vatican on April 28th for a big Vatican conference on climate change. They were trying to gather information to put together their encyclical. And, you know, they did not, of course, support the idea that we are causing dangerous climate change. If I can just read you one sentence.
Sure.
Elizabeth Yore. Yeah, Elizabeth Yore is an international child's rights attorney, and she was part of the Heartland outreach. She said this, our opinions were not only ignored, but we were scoffed at and demeaned by high-level Vatican officials who called us deniers, Tea Partiers, and funded by oil interests. You know, and that's what they all found, even scientists in the group. The same thing. They were harassed at the summit in Rome by the Vatican. So it's interesting, they're not actually practicing what the Pope is preaching. And then a little later, the Pope says, well, you know, he says, we know that we don't actually have, how does he say, oh yeah, here it is, on many concrete questions, the Church has no reason to offer a definitive opinion. And then a little later, he says, we know that technology based on the use of highly polluting fossil fuels, especially coal, needs to be progressively replaced without delay. So he's contradicting himself not only in his actions later, but also right within the encyclical itself. Because if they tried to move over to non-fossil fuel sources in much of the developing world, people simply won't have electricity at all.
And that's key. Do you think people don't understand that? They don't get that about what we're talking about when we're talking about electricity, especially?
Yeah, I don't think people do get it. I think they just see the plug in the wall and they think they plug it in and, oh my goodness, the rates are high. Those companies must be cheating us. What they don't seem to understand is that, you know, the United States in particular is the Saudi Arabia of coal. And it's also the cheapest form of electricity by far. The actual price of coal, as you get it out of a power station, they call it the price at the bus bar, is about 4 cents per kilowatt hour. Natural gas is about 15 cents, and wind and solar, which Obama wants the world to use, is 22 cents per kilowatt hour. So, you know, we can absorb it in North America, most people. I mean, the poor will have a tough time with this, but most people can absorb that. It's just a nuisance. But in a way, what you're saying to poor Africans is that you can't have electricity.
Yeah, because how would they pay for that? This we always come back to the same thing in developing alternatives. You have to have you'd have to have an affordable alternative because forcing, especially with regulations, forcing people to jump to something different when there's no way they could ever afford some of the methods that we're talking about is failed matter what. I mean, no matter what, how you feel about it, like I said, with the different cards and with the analogy I was trying to make with the different patterns, it doesn't matter. You know, I noticed this. I know that you taught climate change in Ottawa. What do people in Canada, what's the conversation like in Canada over global warming versus climate change?
Well, it's really interesting. There's a big split between the media, mainstream media, and the general public. The general public don't rate climate change as a very high concern when they compare it with things like taxes and roads and schools and hospitals and stuff like that. But the media, the mainstream media in Canada, has pretty well closed the door on people like me. I occasionally get on radio, but newspapers, man, I have to send out like 70 versions of the same article, making sure I don't overlap circulation zones, but and then maybe I get one publishing, you know, and that's really tough. I actually have to go to the U.S. to influence Canadian policy because I know a lot of Canadians read your articles in the United States, and there's a good reason for that because our prime minister has announced that we will simply follow the U.S. on climate change. So our climate policy is being decided in Washington by people that we can't elect. So if we want to influence Canadian climate policy, we have to get published in the United States, which fortunately is much easier.
Wow, and there wasn't any blowback to the prime minister saying that? That we'll just follow whatever the United States does because, hey, it's North America? I'm assuming that's why he's saying that?
Yeah. Well, there is among true conservatives, but among most people, they want him to actually do a lot more. You know, for example, there's a big climate march. There's a climate march in Toronto on Sunday, and they're bringing together all the left-wing groups, the labor groups, the Indian groups, social justice groups, all kinds of groups. But, you know, one of the things they don't realize is that the climate scare actually violates many of these social justice-type causes. You know, there's a really good example here in Ontario. Because the Ontario government wants to lead the world in the fight to stop climate change, they've closed down all of our coal stations over the last 12 years. 12 years ago, we had low electricity rates. Ontario was the leader in Canada for industrial development. And over that time period, electricity rates went so high, so many companies left, that we now have five times the debt per capita of California, and Ontario is a have-not province. We have to borrow money from other provinces. Now, it's not just the cost of electricity that's going up. In an attempt to replace these coal stations, they're now putting up, an enormous number here. It's thousands. I'll just get you the exact number. 6,736 industrial wind turbines. Okay, 6,000.
Wow!
And these things are 609 stories. 609 feet high. That's as high as a 61-story building. They're the biggest in North America, and they're being put up all over the province. And not only are they going to slaughter golden eagles, because golden eagles follow the northern part of Lake Ontario, and of course, in brilliant government fashion, they're putting the turbines right in the migration path of these golden eagles, but also they're putting them anywhere they want, up to about 500 meters from homes. And there's a very sad example in Ontario where a lady by the name of Shelley Correa has a son who's been diagnosed with sensory processing disorder, and it's crucial that he live in an environment free from excessive noise. So they moved way out into the country, into a place in southern Ontario called West Lincoln, which is very quiet. But the government suddenly said, we're going to put a 61-story wind turbine only 550 meters from your house, you know, and
wow.
I mean, this is terrible for her son. So people concerned about social justice who are marching with the climate people on Sunday, they should look at this and they should say, wow, you know, in an effort to try to influence the climate in 50 years, we're going to hurt people today, you know, like this boy, Joey. But also people who, you know, eat. Because, of course, across the world, biofuels, which is, of course, one of the solutions to climate change because they supposedly generate less CO2, they take 6.5% now of the world's grain supply, which means that the food prices are skyrocketing. And so not only do poor people in these countries have a difficult time getting electricity, but they're finding it hard to get food. And so once again, you know, in an effort to try to control the climate, things like social justice are just being thrown out the window.
Right. And wow, what an explanation. Crazy. I'm still thinking about Canada and just following along, if it were only that easy, right? In other areas of our lives to say, hey,
yeah.
Simon says, follow us because we know what we're doing here. Wow. So you're obviously paying very close attention to what's happening in our elections then coming up for president 2016.
Yeah, and I'm relieved to see that quite a few of your Republicans, unlike our so-called conservatives, are actually saying, look, this climate scare is bogus. I mean, it's just a hoax. And I'm really glad to see a lot of those people are saying that. I hope one of them becomes president.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's a crowded field, that's for sure, on the other side. Tom Harris, the Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition. Tom, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Okay, that was great. Thank you.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.